All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
You are now listening to the Coding Behind the Wheel podcast.
What's going on? I'm Scott from Koenig. Welcome back to another episode of the Wheel Wednesday podcast. Jared's here. Don't forget Jared. He's here. Anyhow, real quick, and then I want to get right to our guest. We have a wheel giveaway going on. If you're watching this live, congratulations. You're still able to enter. If you see this next week or after the morning of June 19th.
You snooze, you lose.
Yeah. AOL, you know what I mean? So with that said, we have the giveaway going on. This weekend we'll be at Formula Drift New Jersey, FDNJ. Come check us out. If you're going to be in New Jersey, swing through, say hello, hang out with us for a little bit. It's always good to see people in person. And aside from that, let's get right into our guests. Let's just do it. Let's go right in. So, you know, I think that if you're not under a rock and you have been watching YouTube, you have seen this person probably in some of your videos, or you've seen them through a lot of media that has been on the internet. I think that's the most fair way of saying it.
I'd say that's
you might even subscribe to his channel. But before we do that, let's just get into it.
I can't even add to the intro. He just wants to jump right in. All right.
Stefan Lewis is with us.
What's up, guys? Happening?
How's it hanging?
Thanks for having me on. Yeah, it's been great. Yeah, thank you.
So much interesting. Quite the intro. Well, you know, listen, I can't say that I built you up all that much, but I think explain to people what I was saying with if you've watched a lot of internet content, YouTube stuff, you have at least seen him. You know what I mean? Because you have the 8080 media, you're in a lot of the Stradman stuff, and you know, you are not a stranger to some other popular channels in addition to your own.
I've somehow finagled my way into a bunch of different places in the automotive media space, which I guess I enjoy doing.
Right. You also have a lot going on for yourself. You started a YouTube channel. I guess it's fairly recent, within the last year.
Yeah. I started, it was like December of last year. So it's been like, I don't know, 6.5 months, 7 months, whatever that is.
That's right. Crazy.
And yeah, you have good traction going on.
Yeah. It's been absolutely insane. Just crossed 100,000 subscribers this past week.
Goals.
And it's been so crazy. I've been like so overwhelmed with like the engagement and support. It's been so cool. And I think a lot of it just has to do with, you know, what you're saying, that I've kind of finagled my way into a bunch of different places in the automotive space, media and video wise. So
that's not a bad thing though. Like, it's not. I think that we've seen this with other people. People, I think, sometimes can make this almost lateral decision that the only reason people get following is because they're in a much larger YouTuber's, you know,
universe.
Channel. Right. But if the content sucks, the content sucks. You have to have content.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's one of those things I think that you have taken so much focus. You've taken a lot of that direction from the fact that you've been around the content creation industry for a long time.
Yeah. I've been very fortunate to. I almost feel like it was like all these things that I've been doing over the past couple years have like kind of prepared me, I guess, kind of for this, because it started out as just, you know, I was kind of just a normal automotive videographer. I worked for a small performance shop. They like, their specialty was like Subarus, so, you know, we had blown up cars all the time.
Right.
And we like And yeah, I was just shooting like dyno videos and like little build videos and stuff like this for the shop to help market them on social media. And then, you know, as I started shooting video for ADAD, that, you know, got me on like in front of the camera more. And, you know, ultimately it kind of helped, I guess, prepare me to know what I want to shoot. Cause the YouTube channel is like, it's so new for me. I've never really shot YouTube exclusive content. Particularly, not for myself, which has been, it's been so fun to do. But yeah, it just kind of feels like I've had a lot of, I guess, practice, I guess, to do this.
Well, I was going to say, maybe let's just take a step back and say what ultimately motivated you to start your own YouTube channel, because in addition to, you know, the 8080 stuff, I mean, you also have a film course and like a small family. So like you got a lot going on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's honestly a lot of times it's more than I can handle, but, yeah. So I initially, I didn't really have a ton of interest in doing a YouTube channel for myself. I met James, Stradman through, ADAD. They built his, wide body Supra, his Mark V Supra. Because, you know, we were like one of the first people to get a kit, the Pandem wide body kit. So, you know, we had been through a build and, you know, he's local. He lives literally 5 minutes from the 8080 warehouse. And so, you know, they just kind of linked up, met him through that. And I saw, you know, obviously I know that he's doing YouTube and, I'd been watching him for a really long time, but the last thing that I wanted to do, you know, as we became like closer friends, was like, I didn't want to be another one of those, like, oh, you know, me too. Like I want a YouTube channel too. Cause I know he gets that a lot. You know, it's like people see the success and want to replicate it. It's just, it's kind of like human nature.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I didn't have a lot of motivation initially to do that. Cause I just figured that was like so annoying and it's so lame to be like, oh, you know, I want to do that too. And, you know, kind of expect some help and stuff like that. So, it wasn't until probably like 2 years after I met James that, he actually kind of encouraged me to start a YouTube channel. He's like, dude, he's like, you know, just try it out. Start with 10 videos. He's like, just make 10 videos, on like a set schedule, like back to back, and just see if you like it. And so, I did, and, I loved it. Primarily because like I was saying before, I've never been able to shoot video for myself. It's always been for other people or other companies. So
that's such a testament to the type of, I don't know James at all. So I'm not saying this with any, you know, kind of premeditated thought, but I do know we've worked with a bunch of influencers and YouTubers, and even just being in some of their circles, whether it be them or not, a lot of YouTubers are very protective of their circle and they don't really want to have other YouTubers in their immediate circle. I think it's more like there's a threat of content stealing if you're in the same area. I think there's a threat of, you know, what happens if they beat me to the punch or expose me for something.
Or stealing an audience.
Yeah, I mean, sure. And so when you see somebody that truly, you know, has become your friend, say, hey, look, you try to do this. I think your stuff would be interesting, you know, out there. That's kind of like an interesting thing. It shows you that he really, it's not about him. It's kind of he's doing his thing and he's cool, comfortable with other people doing their thing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And like, I mean, there's some different thoughts that have been tossed around, but it's, it felt very similar to like, you know, I feel like most people are familiar with like David Dobrik, and like how he has like the vlog squad, you right. know, like he has like, it's him and his homies and right. like, you know, each of his homies make content and there's enough eyeballs around in the world to go around for everybody, you know? So I feel like that was kind of the vibe that I got.
Right.
That wasn't necessarily how it was presented to me, but you know, that was like, you know, it's just like, we're all just homies and we're having a fun time and we're trying to document it. So,
yeah. Well, and it's cool because a lot of the content you've done, I think, has from me. And look, the first we kind of started an exchange, you know, months ago, and I watched some of your content. I'm like, yeah, it's some good. It's, you know, it's good content. So, you know, let's give it a shot. You can tell when you watch videos who has a natural presence on camera. And there's some content, I mean, and look, there's some channels that have done extremely well, and maybe they're not all that entertaining. Maybe there's some asset that they bring, a niche subject, maybe it's a unique skill set, maybe the person brings some other unique presence. But most of the time, you can watch content and say, this is good or this is not. And we watched your content, and within a few minutes, I said, I'm like, no, this is good stuff. Let's see what we can do, right?
Wow, that's super nice of you guys. Thank you.
Oh, well, we're not just buttering you up. We really mean that stuff.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that very much. It's funny because, like, I feel like no matter how long I've been making videos, I still look back at videos like when I first started a project or first started something. I'm like, man, that sucked. Like, what was I thinking? You know, it's so funny. Yeah, I feel like everybody who's in video and media, anything, honestly, you look back on some of your first work and you're just like, gosh, I'm an idiot.
Your first work? Listen, we don't have a channel like you do. We don't have anything. But I'll tell you, I hate, and these guys will attest to it, I hate being in front of a camera. And the fact that we do this type of things, I hate everything we do. I have to watch some of our, like, wheel tech stuff. And every time I have to watch myself on a wheel tech, it's like, all right, just get it over with so I can go back to my desk. Like, it's not that I can't be. It's not that I have problems with it. It's just, it's not me. I struggle.
You're an introvert.
Well, I struggle with my own personal social media. I can't remember to post pictures because it's not in my forethought, you know?
Yeah.
It takes a unique
I get that for sure.
It takes a unique skill set to be able to be in front of the camera, but you came from behind the camera.
Yeah, so that's actually a super interesting point, because on that front, like, also when I first started getting in front of the camera, which was for 8080 content, I was, same thing, super uncomfortable. I hated watching myself on camera. I thought I looked so stupid. I just wanted to get it over with. And I feel like it was kind of a learned skill. You know, there are definitely some people that are just naturals and they can just do it and just turn on a camera. They can step in front of a big crowd and they can just make it happen, which is so cool. I am so envious of that trait. But I feel like it's just another thing that just takes a ton of practice. It's the same thing with James's channel. If you go back and look at all of his previous videos, like some of his first videos, like he sucked. He was awkward on camera. And it's funny to watch. He'll admit it too. It's awesome. But I mean, he's come so far, and now he's like an absolute pro.
Right.
You know, he knows exactly what he's doing.
If you had to estimate, how long do you think roughly? And mind you, you've only had your channel for roughly 6 months. How long do you think it took for you to get comfortable in front of the camera?
On YouTube, or you mean like just from when I first started talking on camera, like for ads and stuff?
I guess both. Maybe more specifically your own YouTube channel, since you have your own YouTube channel now.
Sure. I would say it probably took me. I'd say it probably took me a couple months, mostly just to get used to the format. Because when I was shooting ads, everything was very calculated. The ads were always under a minute long. And so I knew what I was going to say. I knew when it was going to be over, which is just a completely different format of being on camera. That took some time, to get used to. And then it was really just adapting, that like type of being on camera to YouTube being on camera. I guess if that makes sense. So yeah, just a couple months, I'd say.
Yeah, which isn't bad. So I want to, before we start talking, because I really want to ask you some questions, because I think you're early enough in the process of being able to give people some real starting advice, but you're advanced enough along the path here to provide some really solid insight about, like, kind of how to get yourself places, even though you quote unquote just started, right? But mm-hmm. before we get there, I really want to add, so give people, we briefly touched on it, but tell people kind of, you went from a performance shop, then you started working for 8080. How did that transition happen?
So working for a performance shop, that it was a small performance shop and they were actually kind of going under. And so I was actively looking for another job.
Right.
I had a friend who worked at 8080. And it's funny because I, you know, if you're not familiar with 8080, they do car giveaways.
Massive car giveaways.
They're like the OGs of the car giveaway space.
Yep.
It's funny because I came on early enough in the 8080 business. They had done, I think, a little over 10 giveaways at that point. Hmm. But I came in early enough to where I was like, I was still one of those people. I was like, yeah, they don't give those cars away. Like, it's totally fake.
Right.
And, but I had a buddy that worked here and he's like, well, you know, they're looking to expand their video team. And, so I came by, I applied, saw that everything was real and legit and yeah, made it happen. So
these big dollar cars, they really give that stuff away. I mean, this is the deal. That's their whole premise. They advertise this stuff. They get you to kind of, buy a ticket, but you
will buy merch.
Yeah. And they follow through with the giveaway that they promised.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. The easiest way to think about it is that they're an automotive clothing brand. And, you know, kind of the angle that they take in, you know, pitching this in a lot of ads is that, you know, if you think of your favorite clothing brand, you know, anything you can buy at a mall or any major online retailer, you know, they certainly make enough money to give a car away to one of their customers and 8080 does it and they don't. So, but yeah, everything's legit. The cars are here. They're not leased. They're not rented. They're not, you know, they're not even financed. They're purchased outright. And the cash that we're holding the videos is actual cash. So yeah, it's all legit. Pick somebody to give the car to.
If we did that, we'd have to give like an 80s Pinto or something, a 70s Pinto.
my Cressida.
This 80s Pinto and a pack of gum.
We'd have to like try to find like a Nova with the floorboards that are still there to give it away. So awesome. You start working. How long were you at 8080 before you really started to get involved? I don't know if the right word is extracurricular. You know, people doing other things outside of just that, this is my work, this is the video I need to shoot kind of thing.
I've always done stuff outside of work as far as just like
right.
freelance, you know, that kind of thing. I started the course, probably a year and a half, 2 years ago now, at this point. Maybe a year and a half. But yeah, and I started working at 8080 about 4 years ago.
Wow. So how do you... It's an interesting... So how many years have now you been shooting?
Total, I don't know, like maybe 6 years or something like that. I didn't shoot that long before I came to 8080. It was probably a year and a half, 2 years.
Your course... When I started to watch, first off, we're going to link your website for your course down below so people could check it out. I think that your course, it goes a lot further than just how to shoot and how to edit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of the idea behind it. It's got the, you know, the basics of how to shoot and edit. And then a lot of stuff that I've just kind of picked up along the way because You know, I feel like video cameras and photography, videographers, all that kind of stuff. It's so, you know, there's so many people that do it, because just to get started, it's a very low barrier to entry. But to really get good at it and to make good money doing it is like a completely different skill set. But I feel like the two go so hand in hand. So I tried to include a lot of that.
So now your course, give people a run through of like what your course is all about.
So I kind of separated it out into three sections. There's just the base, like shoot and edit, like how to pick up a camera, the settings that I like to use, the way that I like to edit, sound design, and it's all primarily automotive focused. I don't stray very far outside of things that aren't automotive.
Right.
But yeah, so that's kind of the first segment. Second segment is, you know, how to sell through video. Just ideas, tips, tricks, things that I've picked up of how to shoot video in a way that doesn't necessarily come across as super salesy, but that can perform well in sales type of environment, like if you're trying to push a product in one way or another. And then, yeah, third is just like the business side of it. So trying to set up an LLC, building a client list, negotiating freelance projects, negotiating a salary, just all those kind of things that go on behind the scenes outside of the creative aspect of it.
It's crazy because, you know, you can go to college to be a filmmaker. You can go to business school to get a business degree. And I mean, I think that's a little crap, but like, well, the problem is because school, and I say this from a place where I came from there, right? Like I have a degree. I did the whole, you know, specialize in marketing thing. Right. Listen, everything that they teach you is basically like warming you up to what you're going to do, because you don't ever really learn what you need to until you get in the field.
Yep.
And often that in the field experience is very based around the area that you're going to be doing.
There's a part of me that legitimately would not have gone to college if I knew how much more experience I was going to get on the job, you know, as a PA or whatever else, than spending 4 years learning film. I would not have done that.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, it's true. It's crazy that you know, college is still the way that it is. I don't think that college is you know, bad by any means. But I'm just surprised that it hasn't changed more to adapt to what kind of today's standards are. Because like you're saying, it's just kind of a, here are the basics, this is the warm up. Now go out and get a job and actually learn how to do stuff, you know.
I think that there's this big disconnect, right? Like, so when you're a kid or when you're a parent, you grew up looking at the educational system because it's, you know, we have a primarily public education system. You grow up kind of feeling that the education system is something that's there for you. It's an institution. It's not one of those things where it's a business. It's just school. And I think that when you come out, the narrative for so long has been that college is just an extension of that. Even though you pay for it, it's not a business. It's school.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Yeah.
It's a business. And no one should lose sight of that. That doesn't mean you shouldn't go, right?
Right.
Like,
yep.
I don't ever want to visit a doctor that hasn't been to school. But but with that said, there are a lot of professions that you don't need to have a formal education in, but you do need to bring some badass skills. And to get those skills, you can only get them one of a few ways. You can figure out how to get there, but you got to get there. And that's where I think your course becomes so incredible. I mean, that's where. And this always kills me when people look at a course It could be in anything, an online course, and they say, man, I'm not going to spend that few hundred bucks. You know, like, I'm not going to spend that money. Like, that's too much money. Well, that wouldn't cover your meal plan for one semester in college. Like,
right.
So.
Yeah, it's so true.
It's crazy.
It's like, so true.
Your course gives people so much of that interwoven knowledge to take them from somebody that feels that they may like to shoot to being able to try to monetize and make a living from something that could be their passion.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things too that I've, you know, tried to maintain as part of the course is like I offer, you know, 30-day, you know, questions asked, money back guarantee. If you get into it, you're like, you know what? This is either a little more complicated than I want it to be. This isn't very well put together. I don't like shooting cars, whatever it is, you know, just give your money back. I don't want your money if it's, you know, if you don't feel like it's worth it.
Yeah. So. Stefan, it's just us friends now. You can level with us. Who's the scumbag that you know is using your course that asks for the money back? There's always one.
You know what? I've only had one person always request request a refund.
Yeah.
I offered to let them keep it and give them half their money back, and they did. Right. So
it's crazy though, because you know what you put into a course, and anybody who pays for a course clearly knows that they don't have any of the skill sets. So it's like almost laughable that somebody would say, what I learned here wasn't worth what I paid.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I don't know. But it is what it is. And
so,
yeah.
Let's talk about starting your YouTube channel. You make the decision. So Stradman gives you this advice. Film 10 videos to be back to back to see if you like it.
Yep.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, it's been so, so fun. And it was kind of nice to start off on that foot of like, you know, okay, like, I'm not just going to make videos from time to time and post them randomly and stuff like that. It's like, okay, just like pretend for a moment that you're a YouTuber and that you have to upload, you know, once a week for 10 weeks and see how you like it. And yeah, I loved it. It was nice to start off with that kind of a goal.
It's being a YouTuber, I think, because of the nature that you always have to be so bubbly and stuff in a lot of videos to really get that, like, I don't want to say attraction, but, you know, kind of get that energy that keeps people watching. I think it's glamorized like way over the top. I know now I can say that I'm pretty friendly, if not friends, with some pretty large YouTubers, quote unquote. It's a hard job. This is not easy.
Yeah, that couldn't be more true. It's, you know, I feel like most of the time I'm a very positive and happy, upbeat person. I don't feel like the way that I am on camera isn't genuine. Right. I try to be very genuine on camera, but it definitely is a little bit more animated, obviously. You know, I'm going to talk with a little bit more hype in my voice, you know, talk a little bit louder, because, you know, you're like it. In car terms, like, you're the driver, like, you're driving this video, and like, you know, you're responsible for all your passengers in it. And so, you know, even if you don't feel super great one day, you know, there've been definitely lots of times when I'm like filming, I'm not having a good day, and I just got to take a breath and just like, okay, here we go. Turn on the camera and put on a smile. And honestly, a lot of times that helps turn the camera, you know,
it's fake interesting.
Make it, I guess.
Yeah. I've done 2 vlog style things for Koenig, and I have never felt more awkward in my life. I One was walking amongst other people, holding a camera and talking to it, and I felt a little bit more of a tool than usual. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean.
So, how do you get to that point? Like, when you first start out, do you try to shoot, like, in places where there's nobody else there to try to, like... Like, I can't get over how people can get comfortable, like, walking through... When you're not big. Because when you're an out at MLZ, when you're a Strad man, when you're... Like, you can... People know who you are, so they know what's going on. But when, you know, when you're just the guy walking through the airport, you look like an idiot.
I don't know if you ever get completely past it. I've definitely gotten more comfortable filming in, like, public, you know, just with random people around. Gosh, yesterday I was filming this bit with, I was holding a watermelon, and I'm in the parking lot of a grocery store. And I'm comparing the watermelon to the size of this turbo, and I'm gonna break the watermelon, like pretend like I dropped it, like on camera, just because it's stupid and it's funny,
right? Yeah.
And I felt so dumb. I dropped this watermelon that I just bought like 5 minutes ago.
Wait, and it in splatters the store? All over.
No. This is in the parking lot. No. Just in the parking lot. You know, I'm filming myself, and I had like three people pull up and be like, "Are you? You okay? Like, you need help? How big of an idiot are you?" So like, yeah, it gets easier, but I mean, if you're gonna put yourself out there, then it really doesn't actually get easier.
Yeah, oh my God. I don't know. I mean, I get it, but it's a hard thing to overcome, kind of that weird insecurity about.
Well, I almost feel like the people that are good at it, that can just literally flip the camera around and start recording, they just essentially ignore everyone else that's around them. It's just like, I think that's how they must get over it. It's like, it's just me and the camera. I don't care who's watching me or how stupid I look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's true.
I guess there's proof of that. If you've ever seen that Instagram account, Influencers Gone Wild.
Oh yeah, Influencers in the Wild.
Oh yeah. Man, some of those.
I love that account.
It's so good, but like, I still don't understand. Like, if you're at a crowded beach, how you could set your phone up on a little tripod on your towel and then go shake it in front of like all the 6 years olds. That's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. You're gonna be on that someday, Scott. I know it.
I can't wait. It's going to be me walking through an airport. I'm going to trip and stumble, hit the like those rolling escalators that go down flat. Yeah, it's going to be awful. So you have this YouTube channel now. You have your course. You're a freelance still for 8080, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where do you want to go? Are you the type that like, I just like doing everything, so I'm gonna. My intention is just to keep on doing everything. Or do you have a different 5 year? I hate 5 year plans, but you know what I mean. Like, do you have a different outlook that you plan on?
No, not necessarily. I mean, I want to keep doing everything for as long as it makes sense. I'm gonna follow. I'm gonna follow the fun. Right. Whatever I'm having the most fun doing and is supporting me and my family, I'm gonna follow that. So, I don't know exactly where I'm gonna be in 5 years. I don't know if I'm still gonna be doing freelance. I don't know if I'm still gonna be doing the course. I hope so, but I certainly plan on still making videos for fun on the internet.
I love that. Follow the fun,
like that. Follow the fun.
That's what I do every morning. I follow the fun all the way to the building. And then, you know, I come in and then I try to follow the fun on home.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. And of course, you're always just so peachy keen when you get in here.
Yeah. That's me. So you get to do a lot of cool things, though. You get to drive some incredible cars. Now, as a car guy, that actually is really fun for me. Like, you get to drive. tell some people that may not know you, I mean all 12 of the people that are listening right now, tell them the types of cars that you've been able to drive because of the connections and your lifestyle within this video-ness.
Yeah, cars all over the spectrum. I mean, obviously from like kind of the entry level supercar standpoint, lots of Huracans, McLarens, you know, let's see, 600LT, 720S, I mean, then up to like kind of the next level, Aventadors. I got Bugatti. To drive James Bugatti for a minute. Yep, that was fun. I got to drive Porsche 918 Spyder, fastest production car 0-60, I think, unless the 765LTs passed it. I drove a LaFerrari. That was also super fun. Jeez. So yeah, it's like I don't even know how much that car costs. Like I think it's between like $3 and $5 million, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, the exclusive of the exclusive.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, these like numbered cars that only a handful of people even get to see in their lifetime. It's nuts.
Man,
absolutely nuts.
So just be honest with us for a sec. Did you really just start the YouTube channel as an excuse to start buying and building more cars?
It definitely helps. If you ask my wife, then the answer is yes.
You know, I have to ask. When we leave here, I think I'm going to go take Stefan's course because honestly, that's the one thing that I've been. I want to be a car hoarder. My life aspiration is to have one of those. You know, they ever see the what do they call them? The condo LZ compound? No, those big steel metal buildings in the middle of nowhere where like you have like a 2-bedroom house on one side, but the rest of it's just all cars.
Oh yeah, yeah. Isn't that all of our dreams?
Oh my God. Really is. So what cars do you currently have right now?
I just have two. I have it's a 2013 R35 Nissan GTR.
Good year.
Yeah, I love it. It's full bolt-on. E85 makes a little over 600, which is a lot of fun. And then the Corvette I just got. I got a C6. Corvette Z06.
Nice.
Procharged. It's got more stuff than I can even name. Just had a dyno that made a little over 700. And that car is just, it's so stupid. It's like, it is the dumbest car that I own. just because it's like, it's a burnout machine. It's so loud. It's so rowdy.
Right.
It screams America. It's so fun. But it is a stupid, stupid car.
So my dad's got a Z06. I have a twin turbo 350. I've driven plenty of R35s. I will tell you that for those who have not driven both cars, they drive like polar opposites. One is much heavier feeling, has this very planted, stout, you know, kind of feel. The other one is like, it feels like you're driving the nose of the car. Like you just turn, point, go.
That's a very good way to put it. Yep.
Yeah. Strange though, because it is a cool, cool car.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so just like you said, very, very different driving experiences. But yeah, they're so fun.
Man, having a Z06 is awesome. The only thing that's kept me from really wanting one bad is I've changed the clutch on one before.
Oh, did it suck?
Oh, blows. You gotta drop this whole torque tube and the trans. I mean, talk about out of my element. How about some advice to maybe some people that are out there looking to possibly start a YouTube channel? Hard thing to do now.
You know, honestly, a lot of people say that. Well, okay, let me start here. Going back to what we were talking about before, I feel like so much of it is just following the fun. Like, just like one of the biggest goals that, and I'm still learning, obviously. You know, I don't claim to know everything about YouTube. I'm like not even close. I still like don't understand half the things I'm doing. But as far as like creating good content that goes far on YouTube, it's so much of it is just having fun. Like if you can portray to your viewers that you're having a really good time, that you're with your friends, like think about just like even outside of like video and YouTube, like what is just like the human soul? Gosh, I feel like a philosopher right now.
No, go do it.
Like what is like the human soul crave? Like, you know, you crave like love, friendship, affection, health, you know, just the fun of life. And pizza. Like pizza, 100% pizza, McDonald's.
Yeah.
Bro, don't even get me started. We could go on a whole separate tangent on that.
Hey. It could happen.
But yeah, I, as far as starting a YouTube channel, like my biggest recommendations are like, think about how you can portray having the most fun with the best friends on camera. Like those are the videos that have for like by far gone the furthest.
Yeah.
So, and cars are an awesome bonus, but I mean, I started the YouTube channel. I only had a Toyota Tacoma.
Right.
And I had a couple of videos blow up from that. I put a hot tub in the back of my Tacoma and it was just me and the homies going to a drive through with a hot tub in the back of a truck. And like, you know, it's not even like loosely correlated. So like, don't let excuses of like, oh, you know, well, I don't have a cool car. I don't have a Lamborghini, you know, cause if you look at James's channel, you look at TJ Hunt, yeah. Adam LZ or whoever else, you know, you see all these cars, like these insane builds, you know, 2JZ swap this and, you know, Aventador that, Huracan, McLarens, you know, it's like, oh, like, you know, I could never get into that because I just don't have those cars. Like, don't let that get in the way because it's, you know, you can do it with whatever you have. Just start having fun.
So with his advice, I think the next video we do should be a hot tub in the Baja.
So another question we have for you. But when you put a hot tub in the back, so I'm sure it's the tarp water hot tub.
No. It was legit. Yeah, it was.
You put a hot tub in there.
It was semi-legit. they make like it's essentially a kiddie pool, but okay. Like, built for the dimensions of a standard size truck bed.
That's fantastic.
And so it's like inflatable. You have like some nice cushioned sides. It holds water really well. And yeah, so step above a tarp, step below a hot tub.
Dude, Koenig is going to get 100,000 subscribers if we do this. It's on Koenig wheels.
I would settle guaranteed. For a solid 40 squad members. But so how do you – now we're in a different place. We're in a different place. We are in New York. It's going to be a little tighter on things here, but how do you get away with driving with your friends in the back of your truck without getting pulled over like that?
Move to Utah.
If that's not the single most advertisable thing that Utah should use to get people to move there, I don't know what is.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, it's if you're filming a YouTube video, honestly, like if you can get pulled over, that's even better, you know, because then you film like you have this thumbnail of a cop all pissed off and you're chilling in the back of a truck, with your shirt off, holding McDonald's. Like, yeah, that's money right there.
Sounds like my Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's crazy. We talked about real quick about people starting YouTube channels. You said, you know, and I believe this 100%, which is you said follow the fun, but I think the likeness to this is, don't do it for money. Don't do it for other people. Go out and have some fun. Document it. And if that's the type of content that kind of people want to see, you'll gain a following. And if it's not, make the videos because you want to make them anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't like it and you're not having fun, you're going to get burnt out so fast.
Yeah.
So fast, because it's a lot of work. So much work. So much editing. Yeah.
Is there any super technical YouTube-y things that you found in your first 0 to 100,000 subs that you kind of learned on your own? Obviously, you have good mentors for advice, but, like, you know what? I was doing it this way. Now I know I have to do it like this.
As far as like YouTube technical,
you know, like thumbnails, titles, anything okay. that you find super important for when you're putting your videos up.
It's really interesting to watch YouTube analytics. I've learned a lot from just like keeping an eye on them. There's like, it's crazy how big of a difference it makes when YouTube like recognizes like the switch flips that like, oh, this video is doing well, and then they push it to tons and tons and tons of other people.
Yeah,
it's literally like, if you look at your analytics, it's like a hockey stick graph. It's like you like got, you know, your like dinky little channel, like I had like 1,000 subscribers and then like, you know, I post this video and it's just like boom, like it's just like recommending it to everybody. I mean the thumbnails and the titles are absolutely huge. Sure, it's not the first time that you've heard that,
right?
Yeah. It's because I've had videos that like I think are amazing, and even the people that click and like watch them, like they're like, this is the best video you've ever like put on your channel,
right?
Mm-hmm. Or whatever. You know, I'm getting so many comments, but like it just doesn't do that well, and that's because like there's this barrier, like, you know, everybody is fighting for your attention on YouTube. Like, click on my video, click on my video, click on this video, and so. Having the balance of like, you know, you need something that's attention grabbing, not over the top, because, you know, obviously if it seems like way too clickbaity, people know. But yeah, I still haven't figured out the formula to it. And I don't think that there is a formula necessarily. But yeah, I mean, just really like thought provoking, titles and thumbnails that are bright, colorful, and on a good topic.
Yeah.
That's good advice.
Right?
Yeah.
I was going to ask, and I don't know if it's necessarily a fair question, given that, you know, you've done all this filmmaking for 8080, you obviously have your own YouTube channel, you've driven a whole mess of cool cars. Do you have a dream car to own?
I do. Yeah, absolutely. I am a huge McLaren fanboy.
Oh, yeah.
It's like it's cool because, you know, like you're saying, with all the cars that I've been so blessed with the opportunity to drive, it's kind of like, you know, I get like a little taste of each car and I get to think about like, oh man, like this is the car, and I'm like test driving each car in a certain sense. I kind of have two dream cars, and they're kind of one and the same. I have like an attainable and a less attainable version.
Right.
But I was absolutely blown away with the 720S. Mm. McLaren 720S is definitely my dream car. I would consider that the more attainable version. You know, hopefully sometime in the near future. I mean, you can find those, you know, under 200 grand, which is definitely not my budget now, but
right.
You know, I hope in the next five years I could work really hard and maybe get there.
Right.
And less attainable version would be the 765 LT.
Okay.
Just because they look sick, and it's pretty much the same car.
Yeah.
With some little adjustments. So.
So.
Yeah.
You're in a great position of being able to tell your wife, oh, I need to spend this money. It's investing in the channel. I'm thinking that I need to start a YouTube channel so I can convince my wife to let me spend most of my money on cars. Because right now, every time she brings, like, all right, I'll give you a case in point.
Let's hear it.
Yeah. I've made a vow to myself. When I, about 10 years ago, now I have two kids, 6 and 8, and I've been married for a while. So we bought a house 2009, and I sold every car I owned. I had like 4 or 5 cars at that point. So okay. I sell all my cars. We buy a house. There was this crazy thing. My house only has a 1-car garage, which sucks. But I build cars all the time, so it's wide enough where I can kind of make it happen. So recently I decide – no, I'm sorry. So after that point – I end up picking up a 350, just kind of whatever. It was a clean car. It was only at like 20,000 miles. And I was like, you know what? I'll pick it up. I haven't played with a 350. I still have the car. I made myself a vow in that moment that I would never sell any car that I built that I really liked again. I'm just going to keep them. That's just how it's going to be. So recently, now I've been, for the past couple years, I've been on this GTR thing. I've been trying to get myself like an R33. It's probably the best I can do. I can't have an R34 yet. So so I bought a lift and I put it in the garage so I could put my car up and put another car underneath. I'm at that point where I am absolutely ready to hoard cars no matter what it takes. That's my goal.
I love that.
Yeah. I will mess things up. But when I told my wife that I was going to buy a lift and she said, oh, so you don't have to work on your back, I answered yes. But really it was because I needed more space and I couldn't explain to her why I was spending like $30,000+ to blow the wall out of the side of my house. So listen, some people are addicts for a lot of different things. Unfortunately, mine is cars and that sucks.
Yeah, that's unfortunate for all of us. Yeah, dude, get a YouTube channel.
Telling you.
That's what's funny.
People
like
love him. Nobody loves him. Yes, they do.
No. So I'm going to move to Utah. One, because I think it would be a lot of fun to be able to put a hot tub into one of my cars. Two, because apparently that's the place you need to be. Like,
dude, Utah's great.
You're always from Utah?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Always live in Utah.
Man, the amount of open space you guys have to do things must be perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially comparatively to, you know, an area like New York.
Yep.
We have lots of space for activities.
Yeah, man. Let's get to some of these comments because I feel like we, I don't know if there's a lot. I mean, this guy's got a real channel. We have like 12 people, but like, let's.
Okay. A lot. All right. For
so
us.
Alex, I know that's a tough question to ask. Can you scroll upward? I want to make sure we don't miss anybody. I haven't paying attention. All right. Okay. We're going up. Love from India. What up, India? Let's see. Mike Kramer says you have to produce content. Also, you really have to produce content.
Also, else people get bored
and look elsewhere for entertainment. That's the hardest part, is planning out videos and capturing your audience.
Would you agree?
Yeah, that's definitely one of the biggest challenges of YouTube. Yeah, is planning out videos, coming up with what's the next idea, and, you know, trying to get and keep people's attention. Yeah.
Yeah. Jose Sanchez says, you need to make more promotions about the podcast with time, by example, the next week by 3 or 4. Jose, we do that like
He's saying we don't promote the podcast enough.
We literally come, Jose, Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, we will always be here for you. it's the same. But I hear what you're saying. We will do more promos. We'll tell Luis you said so. Somebody said, remember hashtags are everything. My guess is we're talking about that for Instagram type of content. I don't know. Would you say that the three hashtag features on a video really play that much into YouTube?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
One thing that I guess, again, to that other question about the technical side of YouTube, one thing that I have learned about YouTube algorithm and just the technical aspect of YouTube is it is so smart, so much smarter than any of us realize. You don't have to put anything in the title or description or anything in a video for YouTube to know that there's a GTR in that video. You don't need to put hashtag GTR. You don't need to put my new GTR or whatever. YouTube just they just know. It's Damn. The weirdest thing. The way that they analyze video, they know just everything about it. It's so crazy.
You know what that means, right? It means that YouTube, every time we put up a video, knows we suck.
I'm in that boat.
Hate to ask, but do you think my car is good to show off or should I just stop? It's a 2012 Chevy Cruze 1.4 turbo. Listen, man, I mean, maybe not for me, but I would say whatever car you have, you can make it cool. That's actually the best thing about cars is the fact that if you have enough, time, thought process, if you really can bring yourself to make and create things, you can make any car. I've seen any type of car, I've found one that I'm actually, that's a really good looking car. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man, if it's just keep working at it. If you're going to plan to always buy bolt-on things, you're never going to have a car that's cooler than anybody else's. So try to think outside the box. I mean, I guess that's my car suggestion for you.
Well, good but advice. Then they go on to, add about how I think he's trying to make a channel around it. And if that's the case, then, it's all about how engaging you are, right? Ultimately, because car doesn't necessarily matter. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Absolutely. It's kind of the, same thing. It's what Scott was saying. If you're just doing bolt-on things, then probably don't bother. But if you're ready to think outside the box and create unique content, you can do that with any car. It could be a Chevy Cruze, it could be a GTR, it could be anything.
Yeah, just one JZ swap it. Instantly, people.
1J, baby.
1J swap the world.
Oh, man. Let's see. Mike says, I love my car. Awesome. Let's see. But if you're... Yeah, and Mike's giving good advice. He's saying, look, if you enjoy what your car, that's really the main thing. I agree with him. Post content about it. Yeah, so they're kind of having a conversation amongst themselves.
And they tag scroll us down something. Scroll a bit?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I know what. So Mike, this kid Mike said, he thinks they all have to go through that awkward stage when you first start a channel until it's just not awkward anymore. I guess that's kind of fair.
Yeah, it's not going to come out exactly how you want it the first, when you first start.
Let's see, Milltown Gunner, what's going on? Good to have the Gunners in the house.
Yeah, some Gunners in the house.
Let's see, Shelby. Trying to find where we're at here.
Yeah, it looks like it's just all right, conversation. Just
And
Stefan
you have
is
a
crazy in a good way, says yeah. Kevin Frith. I don't know if you know
he
that.
He said
person.
Stefan's crazy in a good way?
Yeah.
All right. Let's take that as a compliment.
Yeah. You have to. That's all we have around here, compliments. Well, listen, man, I won't keep you anymore. I think this has been a lot of fun. I had a good time kind of hanging out with you, and I appreciate you lending some of your time to us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. For those who don't know, I started working with Scott and Alex and all you homies at Koenig when I was like, I don't think I had 10,000 subs yet.
Yeah, it was low. Yeah.
Yeah, it was super low. And so massive, massive props and shout out to you guys for, you know, trusting in a small channel. It's been awesome to work together. And yeah, thanks for having me on.
No, awesome. Hey, Mike, go ahead and ask your question. But I want to say one thing, because we get this question a lot about sponsorships. People say, how many subscribers do I have to have? And
like XYZ boxes you have to check.
And we don't, and we say all the time that we don't use those numbers. Like, there was a lot of aspects. I remember that Jared had saw, you know, kind of some things come in with you, and he was like, what do you think? Like, is this a partial sponsorship? It's kind of cool. It's a cool car.
And I was literally sat down and talked as a team to try
and
to
I was like,
out, like, yeah.
No, this is a full. This guy, like, his content's really good. Like, you watch, he's going to blow up. And he's like, you sure? I was like, no. Like, who's sure? But your content was good. And so you get used to finding the people that you know have that it. And I think you also have to trust that you can build good relationships, you know? So.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see. One question it looks like Mike has for you. Starting out super fresh, no followers. How do you grow from nothing to something? Is it just continuing to make content endlessly until the channel grows, or are there hacks? I think you kind of answered this, but I'll let you go at it.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely little things you can do here and there. I don't know if I would call them hacks per se. But I feel like just what it comes down to is just making good content, and like the world will find you. Like, there is no, I feel like things that are destined to be good will be good. And if you are consistent with it, consistency is definitely the key. You know, you're making a video, you review it, or you know, take a picture, whatever your content is, you make it, you review it. Next time you do it better. And if you just keep doing that, like, it will just happen. You just put it out there.
Well,
that's one of the best things about the internet is discovery. You know, people just,
true.
Just find you.
For sure. Yeah, no, I mean, I think I would just also want to add to that, not to steal your thunder, but I think there's an element of confidence too. Like, I think you really have to feel confident in what you're doing and your ideas, and just sort of going with it, and not, you know, because I think like a lot of people have aspirations to be some sort of a YouTuber, but you know, it's like, oh well, but you know, well, I don't have the confidence, or you know, I don't think my ideas are that great, or whatever.
Yeah, I struggle with the fact that so many people, like, if you would take all the people that want to be a YouTuber and then you would actually show them how work it takes to be a YouTuber, I think you immediately lose 80% of them.
You weed them out, yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, and one thing too, I just want to say, like, if we're legit talking about, like, you have zero friends, zero followers, like, no, not even your mom watches your content, like, you know, there's definitely ways around that, you know, and I've definitely followed people and found people through them just running ads like on Instagram for their own page. You know, if like, I would say a good number to stop that at is like maybe 1,000 people when you have 1,000 followers. Because, you know, running ads for your content, it definitely isn't a good long-term play. Mm-hmm. If, you know, what you're trying to do is YouTube, or, you know, grow an Instagram account or whatever that may be. But it's, you know, if you really are like zero people, then that's a good way to do it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, we're going to let you go now. I didn't mean to balk before, but I appreciate you doing this, and you know, keep us in the loop, man. I mean, you have a lot of cool things going on. I'm sure that your stable will be filled with cars at some point, and hopefully we have wheels to help with that need.
Yeah, I'm excited for the future. Excited for your guys' future.
Thank you.
And yeah, thank you very much for having me on.
Appreciate that. Enjoy yourself. Thanks for doing this. You know where to find us.
But does our audience know where to find him?
Well, they'll be in the description, but why don't you go ahead and give them the whole enchilada?
The whole enchilada. Mm. Yeah, you can find me on youtube.com/StephanLewis. You can find me on Instagram at Stephan L. Lewis, TikTok at Stephan L. Lewis. Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. All over it. Stephan, thank you.
Thank you.
I don't know. We'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk soon, guys.
All right. Awesome.
Have a good one.
So that's it, man. I think it's been good. You know, the best part about this whole thing is that we get to have some really great conversations with a bunch of people that we have relationships with. We get to be car people and talk about cars, right? Yeah. But if you pick something up out of it, that's great. We appreciate it, and we appreciate you listening. Don't forget the giveaway, the wheel giveaway, is happening now. Like, it's only for a few more days. So make sure you check out the video that's on the YouTube channel here. It tells you all the instructions. Follow them and get entered. So that's number one. And number two, again, if you're going to be at Formula Drift New Jersey, stop by, say hello, hang out for a little bit.
You can see us in person.
Just scared all of them away. Anyhow, thanks for watching. We'll be back here next week, Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern. Take care.